It is a crossover Thursday with Locked On Packers. How cold is it going to be in Lambeau Field? What can Baker Mayfield get done? And can the Rams win two in a row? It's all coming up next on Locked On Rams.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome inside another crossover edition, Locked On Packers, Locked On Rams. I'm Peter Bukowski here with Travis Rogers, who I'm going to call Super Bowl champion Travis Rogers because he did, in fact, get to cover a Super Bowl team. We're going to hold on to the positives here today, Travis, because this
for a few more weeks at least.
Yeah,
right?
Because there's not a lot of positives right now in Packerland or La La Land. Crossover Thursday presented to you by our friends at Prize Picks. Daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players. You can win up to 10 times your money with an entry. Takes less than 60 seconds. Go check it out. First time users, 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's PrizePicks.com. The promo code Locked On. Travis, this is a game that we were probably really excited for, both of us, 6, 8, 10 weeks ago. And as it came near, we were just sort of like, okay, I guess they're going to play. So what is the big story right now for the Rams?
Yes, I do expect them to play it. I think that is the one thing that I am certain of heading into Monday Night Football is that the game will be played. Beyond that, I don't have a ton of...
And it will be cold.
It'll be cold, yes. Beyond that, I'm not quite sure. The big story for the Rams coming into this one was the big story for the Rams coming into the last one, which is what are you going to get from Baker Mayfield? Mm. I mean, it really was, like you mentioned, you know.
Excuse me, I have to stop you. Offensive player of the week, Baker Mayfield.
That's
sorry,
right.
Continue.
That was a topic on Locked On Rams, as a matter of fact, earlier this week. So I'm well aware. You know, last week there were no expectations that he came in. He literally arrived the day before the game. He had about 20 reps in practice, and then they played the next day. And
so
he was terrific. It was such an unexpected joy to see, because this season, like you mentioned, has been just an absolute disaster, from the Super Bowl hangover to the 4-9 record to the fact that everybody that is anybody on this team seems to have gotten hurt or played poorly or both. And now all of a sudden you got this little breath of fresh air from a completely unexpected source in Baker Mayfield. And now this Packer game coming up on Monday night, there is, I wouldn't say a lot of expectation, but there's a little now. Just having seen what we saw about 10 days ago, it's gone from, all right, let's just finish this thing out. We got 4 more to go. Let's get to the end of the line. Let's make sure Aaron Donald doesn't get hurt. And do you take Bobby Wagner and Jalen Ramsey off the field to, hey, maybe they can win a couple of these and at least end on a high note. Maybe you find a backup quarterback in Baker Mayfield. Maybe he finds a starting job somewhere in the league because he's been rejuvenated with the Rams and Sean McVay. Maybe none of those things happen and he goes back to the Baker Mayfield that we've seen, you know, at his previous 2 stops. But at least it's something to look at for the Rams going into the last month, last 4 games of the season, because through the first 12 weeks, it was just a slog. That it was bad football, it was injured players, and it was just this constant waiting around for the good thing to happen that never came until Baker Mayfield, of all people, brought the fun.
What a year. This really has been just like the drunkest of years, and that is a punctuation mark on it. Last time Baker Mayfield came to Lambeau Field in December was last year, and he threw 3 interceptions. And
that's something to look forward to, I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't the best performance of his career, I'll say that, but he was hurt. He seems to be healthy right now, right? A little different. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting that you mentioned resting some of those players, because of course this has been a big story for the Packers. They want to play until they're out of playoff contention. That hasn't happened yet. And I think looming over all of this, the Packers fans want to win, of course. But I still think the big story right now is what happens in a week, in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks. Because they can be eliminated as soon as this week, I believe. It hurts my brain. but next week, for sure, they can be eliminated if they lose to the Dolphins and some other things happen. So they're trying to figure out, okay, is Jordan Love going to be the quarterback? Do we see Jordan Love in this game at some point? Just because you'd love to see, of course, Jordan Love if they're up 35-14 in the fourth quarter.
Sure.
You can't really plan those things, right? Are they going to see more of Devontae Wyatt, the first round pick? Are they going to see Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson together? It's a lot of these like hypotheticals. And it's just striking to me that both of these teams are sort of facing the same sort of forward thinking notion. And the forward thinking part of it isn't January. It's like March, April, next September. And that's just a weird place for these two teams to be in.
Two teams that, Peter, coming into the season, I think if both of us were being honest and you said, hey, could the Rams and the Packers play in the NFC Championship game? I think we both would have said, yeah, 100%. I don't think that that's a stretch at all. I think that that's, if you were putting odds on it, that had to be in the top three or four matchups of potential NFC Championship games.
Absolutely.
And instead, we're talking Baker Mayfield and Aaron Rodgers not being afraid of death anymore because he takes psychedelics. It's changed quite a bit in the last several months.
Maybe that's what Baker Mayfield did. Maybe that was the key. He's in Carolina. He's just hanging out in Charlotte. He found the right tea dealer.
Yes.
And was able to take the journey with the shaman and do the whole thing. That would be a great story.
Whatever it takes, right?
maybe that'll come out at some point. I'm wondering how much of this right now you're thinking about and Rams fans are thinking about Sean McVay, Aaron Donald, the future of some of these players, because you mentioned trying to win some of these games with Baker Mayfield would be nice because you don't have your pick if you're the Rams.
Right.
So for the Packers, there are some fans who are just like, let's just lose, higher draft position, and that'll be great. Whereas Rams fans are like, I don't want to do that. But so I guess that would intuitively leave a lot of Rams fans going, what am I thinking about? Well, I'm thinking about, is Sean McVay going to want to stick around for this? Is Aaron Donald going to want to stick around for this? Like, how much of that is that part of the Rams fan zeitgeist right now?
I think the Donald piece probably more than the McVay part. Aaron Donald, by all accounts, was very seriously considering not coming back and playing this season. Going through the year that they've gone through, I don't know what it's going to be like at the end. It could be 4-13. It could be slightly better than that, but it's going to be an unbelievably disappointing season. I can't imagine that Aaron Donald's so really good. This is the thing that I keep coming back to, that if he were declining, if he were slowing down, if he were not only on a team that's underperforming like this one is, but also his level of individual performance was falling off, kind of commiserate with what the team's performance has been, then I think that that would be a larger concern. That being said, it's always a possibility. It's a violent sport. And, you and I talk about it. We don't have to go in there and do what he does with his body. So maybe he's feeling differently. And I would certainly understand. I've said this before, and I still believe it. I would be stunned if Sean McVay left, because I know that he's very aware of how he's perceived. I know that he's very aware of his reputation in this league. He's already thought of as one of the best in the business. He's just getting started, really, when you think about it. In the grand scheme, you look around the league and you see the Mike Tomlins and Andy Reid's and Bill Belichick's, Pete Carroll's, guys that have been around a really long time. He's half their age in some of the cases. And I think it would reflect poorly on him in his own mind, not necessarily in the wider, perspective of NFL football fans and coaches and executives of, you had one bad year and you bounced. I think that would be a really weird thing for him to do. He could go get all the money from Amazon. He could show up on TV at any point. He could obviously come back to the league and have his pick of jobs when he decided that that's what he would want to do when he comes back. But I think it would be just a really odd exit strategy when you had one last year that made a little bit more sense to come back and have a lot of a bad season and then say, okay, I'm going to go to TV and wait for the next best job. Because the Rams, like you mentioned, don't have a ton of draft picks waiting to come up, but they do have a first round pick in the 2024 draft. There is a quarterback locally here that will be eligible for that draft at that point. We know that the Rams are wildly aggressive when it comes to moving up to go get what they want. You're just trying to kind of look down the road a little bit and see what's going on in LA, in the right stadium, with the right quarterback, with a new guy that can do the things that the quote unquote modern NFL quarterbacks do. You can see a path there. It's a lot of things have to break right for something like that to happen, but a lot of things are broken right for the Rams.
They have indeed. I do think it's worth noting before we move to matchups here, Sean McVay came up under John Gruden, who sort of did exactly that. He left at the kind of peak of his powers, went to TV and returned. I don't think we can rule that out for Sean McVay. So that's just something, especially for, I know your listeners are probably more aware of that stuff.
Let me just put one little quick thing in there. The difference is Sean McVay is a good coach.
John McGruden was not. John Gruden did a decent job with the Raiders, won with Tony Dungy's players. Once those guys left, the Bucs were terrible, and then he went to TV, stayed out for a long time, came back, was terrible all over again. Sean McVay's good at what he does.
I think that's a good clarification. I think Sean McVay, the respect that he has from other coaches in the league right now exceeds what Gruden probably ever had. Although other NFL owners were obsessed with John Gruden for reasons that I think to people in you like you and I were like, what? Huh? Why exactly does everyone think that this guy is the favorite son here?
Indeed.
As a new homeowner, I've only had my house now for about a year. A year and a half now, I guess. Security was a big deal for me. And one of the reasons that the Rams have not been as good this year is they can't protect. They can't protect their most important assets. Well, my most important assets are in my house, my son, my wife, me. SimpliSafe can help you do it. And right now, for listeners of Locked On Packers and Locked On Rams, you can get 40% off your new security system with SimpliSafe. When we moved into this house, one of the first things I did was make sure we had a technician here day one to make sure that we had security, that I had peace of mind. That was always important to me. Maybe it's because I've seen Home Alone 500 too many times, but it was important to me. And so is something like 24/7 professional monitoring. Agents for SimpliSafe use Fast Protect technology, which is exclusive from SimpliSafe, to capture critical evidence to verify the threat is real so you can get higher priority police response. I've had police out to my house for accidental alarm triggers, and that actually makes me feel really good that's going to happen, that I have a system that gives me that peace of mind. Don't miss your chance to save big on my favorite security system. Get 40% off any new system at simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL today. But the promo code is LockedOnNFL. That's simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. And thanks for making Locked On Packers and Locked On Rams your first listen. For your second listen, check out Locked On Sports Today, the all sports show that I happen to host. The Travis comes on from time to time. The games that matter, the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with the local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. All right, Travis, let's dive into the matchups in this one. As half-heartedly as maybe we need to for a matchup of this caliber. No, I'm just kidding. Come on, we're always excited to talk football on this show.
Well, this means one game closer to the end of the season, so we can start talking about the beginning of the next season, which I actually am excited for.
Indeed, indeed. So this is, I mentioned, you know, sort of half-jokingly in the ad read about the inability to protect for the Rams. Mm-hmm. To me, that feels like, from the outside looking in watching this team, that is the biggest difference last year to this year. And then that trickles into Matthew Stafford's performance. Of course, the Cooper Kupp injuries are part of it too. For you, what is the thing that this team is best at right now?
Well, I think what they're best at right now is playing defense, probably. And their defense is, you know, statistically, it's better than it was a year ago. And their defense was good enough to win a Super Bowl last year. You know, that we all remember Cooper Kupp catching the go-ahead touchdown towards the end of the game against Cincinnati. But Joe Burrow had a little bit of time left. They had a chance, maybe not a great chance, but a chance. And then Aaron Donald went out and did what he did. Von Miller went out and did what he did. The defense this year has not had moments like that, clearly, in a 4-9 season, but they've done a pretty good job. So I think that's what they're best at right now, is at least, you know, I think that you saw a little bit of it last week where the Raiders should have scored 5 touchdowns. Instead, they scored 1 and kicked a handful of field goals. The Rams are pretty good inside that red zone at preventing touchdowns. They'll give up some points occasionally, but they don't give up a ton of touchdowns along the way. So for me, that's what they're best at. I think what's going to be interesting going into this game, last week against the Raiders, for the first time all season long, and last week was the Rams' 13th game, 14th week of the season, for the first time all season long, the Rams had the same 5 guys up front that they had the week before. It took 13 games to get to the point where you had the same 5 offensive linemen that you had the week before.
you know, knocking on wood right now. Hopefully by the time you get to Monday night, you will have the same five guys that you've had the previous 2 weeks. And while Baker Mayfield did get sacked four times last week, it wasn't perfect. It was noticeably better than it had been the entire season. So if you continue to see that incremental improvement between what we saw 2 weeks ago and what we saw a week ago to what you might see on Monday night, that's kind of where I'm going to have a lot of my attention focused on, is what does that offensive line look like, and which of these guys that aren't starters, and really you're down to Rob Havenstein at right tackle and Coleman Shelton's kind of been sliding back and forth between center and right guard. Those are your only two starting linemen that you really have left. The other three guys are guys that you need to make a decision on. Do I bring this guy back or can I not use him? Is this a guy that I can use as depth, or is this somebody that I want to move on from? And I think everybody knows that, and I think they're competing like that. So if they can have another game where you see – a step in the right direction, where you can protect a little bit, where the Rams ran the football a little bit. They're still not great at it, but they were better at it last week than they have been previously. That's the matchup, that front five for the Rams that I'm really going to have my eye on.
Yeah, I think for the Packers, you know, this is a defense that you can run on. They're the worst run defense in the league. Well, the Rams,
can I throw
not...
this one out there real quick, Peter, since you said we're going into week 15, game 14 of the season. The Rams have not had a single running back go over 65 yards all season long. Not one.
Offensively, you're saying?
Offensively. Not one time have they had a running. And that what that means to me is I look at, not only means that nobody's performing well, nobody's even busted a long run. Like, right. No one's had the 40-yard run, and then you just kind of chip away at the next 20 or 25 yards. Not a 165-yard rusher. Here we are in middle of December.
Well, so that's why this is so interesting to me, because on both sides, I don't think the teams are going to be able to run the ball effectively. And for the Packers, that means – This is still a top run defense for the Rams, despite the fact that they still love to play all those light boxes, still love to play the two high safeties, but because they have Aaron Donald and Bobby Wagner and these like all world dudes, that helps a little, I would say. For the Packers, offensively, their offense is predicated on running the ball, and they have been, when they have had to be one dimensional this season throwing the ball, they've just not been that good at it, and that is a problem. So in this game, how do you account for that? Well, the other side is true, where the one way to attack this Packers defense is running the ball. If you can't, teams have really struggled to throw the ball with any sort of consistency and effectiveness against this Packers secondary, even with the injuries that they've had and the inconsistencies. And I know that that's weird for Packers fans to hear, because Darnell Savage has been such a disappointment, and the run defense has been such a disappointment. They're seventh adjusted for schedule in passing defense. That's really good. Mm-hmm. And so this is a fascinating contrast in styles to me, where you go, okay, the Packers stink at this one thing on defense, but the Rams stink at it too. And for the Packers offense, they need to be able to do this one thing, and it happens to be the one thing that the Rams are best at defending. That to me says under, if you're into those kinds of things, but also that this is going to be a slog of what I think is going to be another low scoring game for really both of these teams.
Well, the Rams are a master at low-scoring games. So here we come into the 14th game of the season. They've scored more than 20 points. You want to take a guess, Peter, how many they've gone over 20 points? Played 13 times.
Three?
Two. They have scored over 20 points twice. They've scored 20 once. So if we're counting the tie, then it's three. But they've scored more than 30 one time. They've scored more than 20 just two times. And they won last week by scoring 17. They have been scoring somewhere between 10, 13, 14, 16, 17, somewhere in there, more or less all season long. They really, short of last week, is kind of the outlier. They don't score in the second half. If they don't score in the first half, they don't score at all. So, you know, if they put up 10 or 14 in the first half, that's probably where they're going to end. At least that's been the trend throughout most of the season. So under feels very, very likely, with the great wild card being, what does Baker Mayfield look like in his second start? Or first start, second game.
Yeah, the Packers have gone over 28 in three of their last four. Or 28 or over, sorry, in three of their last four. So for as bad as the middle of the season was, they scored 10 against the Jets, 17 against the Bills, 9 against a really bad Lions team. And then you mix in a 17 spot with the Titans. They went 31 against the Cowboys, 33 against the Eagles, and that's 10 of those with Jordan Love. And then 28 last week against the Bears, 18 of them in the fourth quarter. So I think you put all those variables together and you start to go, okay, I guess I see how the Packers are 7-point favorites at home in this one. That it starts to make sense, because it's just sort of like, how are the Rams going to score enough to win, and that becomes the big problem, which Travis is so weird to think about with a Sean McVay team. We just don't think of them as being offensively inept. Let me, this is the last thing I want to hit on the matchups part of this. Mm-hmm. How has your perception of McVay offensive genius changed at all this season, if it has?
I think there's two things to kind of take into consideration right there, and I'll work backwards. I'll start with what we saw last week. What you saw last week, first of all, not only did
I'm not leading the witness either, I promise. Like, I don't have a take that I secretly want to slide in. I'm fascinated by your reaction to that.
Yeah, so they only scored 17 points last week. It's not like they figured something out. They only scored 17 points, and the only reason they did it is because the Raiders are the Raiders, right? If any other team is paying any sort of attention at all, the Rams lose that game, right? This was an extraordinary confluence of events for them to do it. But what was interesting was that not only did you have a new quarterback in Baker Mayfield, but he got two guys involved in the offense that really had not been involved all season long, that Matthew Stafford was never able to get involved, that Bryce Perkins, when he plays, was never able to get involved, and that John Wolford, when he played, was never able to get involved. And I'm talking about Ben Skowronek and Tutu Atwell. Tutu Atwell basically doubled his entire NFL career in production in one night. That what he did against the Raiders, he had six catches in his career coming in, he had five against the Raiders. So he just was a completely different player. He looked like an NFL football player. Prior to that, he had not. Same thing with Ben Skowronek. Skowronek a little bit more successful, but limited. And all of a sudden, big catch towards the end of the game that, you know, I'm sure some people remember. But he was the leading receiver in the game. With the Rams, with Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford, it was exclusively Matthew Stafford to Cooper Kupp, and nothing else happened. Not Allen Robinson, not Tyler Higbee, not Van Jefferson. Nada. Nothing was going on. So to your point, I think it was interesting. Like, hey, you know, why was Baker Mayfield able to come in here in 5 seconds and get these guys going along where no one else could do it under the previous 3+ months or so? So I think that question was starting to be kind of in the back of some Rams fans' mind. Where I kind of push back on that a little bit is I don't know how you evaluate any of this with what they've had going on offensively. Cooper Kupp's been out the half the year. Matthew Stafford came in maybe or maybe not 100% healthy and very quickly got hurt behind an offensive line that is historically bad with historic amounts of turnover. You have a running back group that is the worst in the league, arguably. You've had to use your tight end and Tyler Higbee basically as a sixth offensive lineman the entire year because you can't protect anybody. So your options to score were severely limited. You've been playing, they played four quarterbacks. They've started four different quarterbacks this year. So to say that this is on McVay, sure, he's the head coach. It's ultimately his responsibility. And Mayfield did kind of spark it to a certain point. But I don't know how you evaluate any of this considering that you were playing your fifth left tackle by the seventh week of the season.
I think that's all fair. I do think it's interesting because we often think of these sort of genius coaches as talent elevators. Kyle Shanahan has done it with less. Mm-hmm. We've seen Andy Reid do it with less. Sean McVay not quite doing it with less. So I just bring it up to spark a conversation. I didn't have, like I said, I didn't have some secret. It was not a concern troll, I guess I'll say, about the, are we sure Sean McVay is good? Like, no, that's not the take. That's not the take. Sean McVay is good.
He's good. I feel comfortable in saying that he's pretty good.
Yeah. All right, today's episode brought to you by our friends at Bet Online. Packers 7-point favorites over with our friends at Bet Online. Get the latest odds and trends. They're certainly our friends because Packers are 7-point favorites. Maybe not. Sure. Maybe not Locked On Rams listeners' friends because of that.
But they're also not dummies. They know what they're doing.
That's true. They don't build castles in the desert because they're dummies. That is for sure. College bowl season, college basketball, NBA basketball, World Cup. We're going to have a killer World Cup final.
Yeah.
Messi against Mbappe. It's going to be awesome. If you love sports, then you got to get to Bet Online. The fastest and easiest way to get all the betting info you need, head to the website or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. And if you're hanging out with some friends, putting back a few drinks, a few can easily become a few too many. As the evening comes to an end, people start to head out. You think of calling for a ride. I live nearby. I can make it. It's no big deal. What are the odds I'm going to get pulled over anyway? And even so, what's the worst that can happen? Your insurance goes up. You lose your license. You lose your job. You total your car. Or you kill someone. Everyone knows about the risks of drunk driving. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that doesn't seem to stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out right now looking for impaired drivers on the road to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. And thanks for making Locked On Packers and Locked On Rams your first listen. For your next listen, check out Locked On Sports Today. Sorry, Travis, I got to plug it twice.
It's you again.
The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reaction, big game recaps, and the take of the day. It's on the list. I got to read what's on the list.
I read it every day myself. I know.
YouTube and wherever you get podcasts. All right, Travis, let's talk about what we think ultimately decides the outcome on Monday night. It is going to be, as I said, bitter, bitter cold. I've seen forecasts that include the minus sign in front of the number, certainly by the end of the night. So it is going to be cold, cold, not just like LA cold, which is 55 and a little windy, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what it is, too.
So what do you think if you say, okay, I think the game will be decided because of this matchup or this thing, what is that thing?
So I'll get to that in just 1 second. I'm going to tell you a quick story because you will appreciate this. I've only been to Lambeau Field once in my life, and it was for the NFC Championship game between the Packers and the Carolina Panthers. And I might get the year a little bit wrong. It's like 98-ish, somewhere in there.
The 97 was the year, 96 was the season.
Okay, 96 season, 90s. I was there for the NFC Championship game, and you mentioned I am a California native, born and raised in Los Angeles. I've lived in three places in my life, Los Angeles, Phoenix, and Houston. None of them known for being particularly
cold. Now you got that thin blood.
So I thought I was going to die from the second I stepped out of the car. I had a great time. It was an experience I'll never forget. But to the point of what you're talking about, I do think the weather will be a factor. That even though all the players on the Rams are not native Californians, they do play their football in California. They do practice in California. And you get used to these sorts of elements out here. And you go back to somewhere like Lambeau Field at this time of year and that cold. I think that plays a big factor. But the biggest factor, I think, is, and I know we've talked a lot about him tonight, but is Baker Mayfield. Yeah. If Baker Mayfield plays anything like he did a week ago, and he was really good, it wasn't just good under the circumstances. Under the circumstances, it may be one of the great performances in NFL history, but just in a vacuum, he threw for about 230 yards, he threw a touchdown pass, and he didn't throw any interceptions. It's pretty good, you know, especially coming in.
And that one touchdown pass, pretty important.
Very important, right? The game-winning touchdown pass to Van Jefferson there at the end. He probably won't duplicate those numbers, but he might throw an additional touchdown pass. He might throw an interception along the way. If he plays well, they got a chance. If he doesn't, you're going to see what we've seen, you know, nine times previously this year, where a lot of three and outs, a lot of very quick drives, a lot of frustrated looks on the face of Sean McVay, a lot of, you know, almost hopelessness from the front five up front, and a defense that you can tell is getting a little more frustrated week after week after week, trying to keep teams or keep their team in the game with extraordinary defensive performances. Going into a game knowing that you have to hold that opponent to 14 or 17 points, that's a big ask, especially if Aaron Rodgers is on the other side. So I think those are the two things. I think the weather, and if Baker Mayfield can play well again, he has people in LA's attention. He really does. I didn't think that's a sentence I would be saying this year, but Baker Mayfield made an impact in LA like that, and now people are paying attention. Let's see if he can do it again.
To me, this is let me put a finer point on what you're saying, because I totally agree. This is about big plays. Mm-hmm. So if you're the last time the Packers played Baker Mayfield, now different team because of the makeup of the Browns, and Nick Chubb ran all over them. I think he had 196 yards in that game. Joe Barry played a lot of the two shell. It was basically mirror images of these two defenses, right? A lot of two high safeties and trying to stop the run with light boxes. Well, one team on the field on Monday is good at that, and the other team is decidedly not. So will Joe Barry take the same approach and say, okay, Baker Mayfield, you're going to have to dink and dunk your way down the field, something he is more than happy to do, or are you going to force him to make throws over the top, press these receivers at the line of scrimmage, get a little bit more aggressive, and say, actually, Baker, we dare you to make throws. On the flip side, the Rams, unlike the Brandon Staley era, and this was less true last year than it is this year, one of the worst teams adjusting for schedule in deep pass defense. It's one of those weird things. Despite the two high safeties, the deep pass defense, especially on the right side of the field, is one of those interesting things. I think that's a Jalen Ramsey thing, that teams don't throw at Jalen Ramsey a ton, but when they have this season, they've had success going over the top, right? Mm-hmm. Christian Watson is in the building. Can the Packers, whether it's on Jalen Ramsey or not, can they create some chunk plays? I think that is the key here, because I don't think they're going to effectively run the football. If they can create those chunk plays and keep Baker Mayfield from creating those chunk plays, I think they win. I think they win in a sort of like 27-17 kind of way. If they don't, then all of a sudden we're talking about a close game, and who knows. The weather is also interesting to me, because these are two teams playing for not much. Mm-hmm. And so if it's bitterly cold, if one team gets out to a 10-point lead,
let's run the ball. Let's get the hell out of here.
And I mean both sides, because right. just because the Packers live there doesn't mean it doesn't suck if it's -4, right? So you want to get the hell out of Dodge.
Yes.
So I think that's also like, I think starting fast for both of these teams is going to be important. If you get out and you score touchdowns on your first two drives, you're going to be feeling really good, and the other team's going to be feeling probably less good. And so how does that just psychologically affect these guys? I think that's it. That's just a little subplot to watch here.
Yeah, I think that your score prediction, that 27-17 number, if I'm being honest, I think you're being generous. I don't think that the Rams have a ton of options, despite Mayfield's success last week, to score more than a touchdown or two. And a touchdown, I think, if you told me right now they're going to get one, they got one of the best kickers in football. They really haven't gotten a chance to deploy him all that much this year. But yeah. Matt Gay is terrific. Obviously the weather can affect that as well, and he kicks inside or quasi inside for SoFi Stadium. But he's really good. So if you get into a match where all of a sudden he can kick a couple of 50 plus yard field goals and let them hang around, maybe they can steal one at the end against the Raiders. But if this gets up into the mid to high 20s, I don't think the Rams can keep up.
I think that's clearly where the Packers want it to be. And for that very reason, it's just going to be hard for the Rams to matriculate the ball with any sort of consistency. If you can't run on this defense, like I said, it is tough sledding. All right. This is weird because there's no Sunday game, but so this crossover feels a day early to me a little bit. My body clock feels a little bit off, but we got plenty more to get to all of our listeners in the coming days. I know I will not be live on Sunday, but I'll be live after the game on Monday night. So Keep listening to my show if you're a Rams fan, or Travis's show if you're a Packers fan, and we will talk to you all very soon.